Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. It's another Tuesday, or it's another whatever. It's another whatever, really. It's another whatever.
It's another day.
Another dollar.
Another day where we're dancing like Iggy Pop.
Exactly. Hey, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Welcome back. It's the Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent. And we have a very special guest in the studio today making his second appearance on the Carolyn and Joe Show. We have R.C. Rosegar with us.
Hello.
Hey. That's what comes out. I was looking forward to you saying, good evening. Good evening.
Cool. Good evening. And like, I would picture you next to the fireplace, and then you'd just turn around in your cape. Or like your
Dracula cape.
Your Dracula cape with a glass of blood.
Nice.
Good evening.
I chose that song for you because you were talking about how you really, really love the Chili Peppers' One Hot Minute.
I do.
And I think it's actually really hilarious because for some reason, it splits the audio in half, and we only heard the left side that came in. It's funny because it cut off all the lyrics, so we just have the... I was like, this is a new version of that song.
So basically, like, they're just purring like cats.
Yeah, so it's just like... I think it's really great because, like, it was just recently I was listening or I was watching on YouTube. I've been wanting to see this forever. The newest Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which, you know, as we know, is the Beastie Boys, Guns N' Roses, some other people, and then the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I'm a massive fan of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And, they had Chris Rock did the introduction or the initiation or what is it? They
inducted.
Yeah, he inducted them. And in the story that Chris Rock told, he basically said that him and his guys were going, they were trying to look for, I guess maybe it was Grandmaster Flash or someone, and they accidentally went to a Chili Pepper concert. And the first thing he said was, I don't know, it was amazing, but I don't understand a fucking word that they were saying. And like that just reminded me of that. That's what we're. I was like, what? They're just going. Nah, 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 nah. I just wanted to share that with you. But
while only wearing socks.
Yeah, while only wearing a sock. But thanks for being on the show, RC. Well, so
thank you for having
me. I'm gonna call you RC the whole entire time.
No worries.
I always mess up the other waves.
Okay, RC.
But But right now, for a brief moment, we do have the news music. So, Carolyn, what's the news?
The news. Let me get out my touch. All right. We have a tour. It's going to be awesome. It's usually in the fall we have a very heavy tour. And this means every weekend in September we are booked. So, let's see what we got. September 8th and 9th. That's this coming weekend. Oh my gosh. Baltimore Comic Con. Are you going to be there, RC?
I was thinking about going.
Okay. We'll see if he goes. And if he goes, maybe you can see him there. All right. And we are there as Curl Studio, so look us up in the program book. So that's this coming weekend, September 8th and 9th, Baltimore Comic Con. Then the following weekend, we're going to be at Small Press Expo, which is September 15th and 16th. That's in Bethesda, Maryland. Be there. And RC has been there before, so what do you have to say about Small Press Expo?
Small Press Expo, last year was my first one. It's always been around. I've always heard about it, and I've heard good things about it. And last year was the first one I went to, and it's pretty awesome. I spent a lot of money at that expo. Lots of good comics, lots of great creators.
A lot of innovative things that you've never seen anywhere
totally.
Else. Yeah. So check that out if you're in the area. You got to be there. And then on September 22nd, Joe and I are going to be in Philly for a book signing of District Comics at Locust Moon Comics and Movies. So that's going to be a really exciting day. And I hope to eat a lot of pierogies. And also, then the following weekend, on September 29th, we're going to be at Asbury Park Comic Con in Asbury Lanes in New Jersey. Get this, it's in a bowling alley. And they have a vintage photo booth machine, like one of the ones that you pull back the curtain on and take pictures for a couple bucks. That's always fun.
I don't even know if that's really a functioning bowling alley. I think it's just a bowling alley they turned into a venue. Asbury Lanes, right?
I'm pretty sure that it is a functioning bowling alley during the day. And then at night they have rock shows and events and burlesque shows and a whole bunch of other fun stuff.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, Comic-Con in a bowling alley next to the beach. How can you beat that? You got to be there. That's on September 29th. And then into October, we have New York Comic Con. That's the big one. Not going to lie, it's pretty huge. October, that's October 11th through 14th. And then on October 27th, we are booked for Annapolis Comic Con. So Marilyn, we're going to hit you up again. Be on the lookout for the Curl Studio Hurricane. All right. Am I like hyping that up? Anyway.
Why not?
Yeah, we're definitely going to be all over the East Coast. So you can see us there. We're not going to be filming or recording a Carolyn and Joe show, but we will be there to support the comics, and we'll be there to say hi, so stop on by.
I always wondered about that. I don't know how difficult it would be. But we do have a couple friends in Baltimore that are doing a podcast, so maybe we might be on that show.
Yeah.
So tune in for that. So what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. RC, did you watch that?
I have not. I have not seen it.
Because, like, this was the first time. Maybe it wasn't the first time, but it was, you know, it was broadcast or it was shown on HBO, and I don't have HBO.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I was waiting for it to show up on, like, what's it called? Palladia? You know that channel? Like, or Palladia or whatever
it's
is?
It's like a music channel.
Oh,
that
it's on cable TV.
It's like a butterfly logo.
You said on cable TV.
I don't have cable television, so all my viewing pleasures are through Netflix or YouTube.
Is it even still cable TV? Are we still calling it cable TV?
I don't know. I guess
I don't know.
What do you call it?
I don't know.
But yeah, I haven't had like cable television in like I think years and years and years.
Really?
Recently went to see my parents in Nevada, and they have cable TV, and I got to.
You're like, wow.
Experience all this stuff. And a lot of, like, it's pretty interesting how many TV shows there are in the...
There's so many. And it's so many to choose from.
I didn't know that. So I don't even know how you experience life.
It was pretty interesting.
I bet you probably have a better life than majority of all the
you
people.
Probably
like,
do.
Your mind is probably more cleansed because of the lack of all this crap television
and
or,
also,
I don't know.
Whenever you're, like, whatever you're ingesting from your own means, from either the internet, you're saying, like, YouTube or Netflix, that's, like, your own intake. You're not just like flipping the channels, wasting time.
Yeah. So I'm very picky and choosy with what I watch.
Well, I don't even like, I have access to cable TV, but I hardly ever watch it really. Everything I've been watching is just like on like a DVD box set style.
A lot of it is garbage, man. Not to sound negative about it.
Why
and there's
not?
A lot of shows about scumbag people too. Like I don't want to like, you know, name any shows, but like
why not?
Like,
go ahead.
I'm not gonna name the people. I just don't want to talk smack about anybody.
You know, have you heard of this show called Swamp
show you're
People?
On.
No, I haven't seen it. But I know the Gator Brothers or something like that.
Yeah,
there's
something
Brothers
like that.
Shows.
But there's like a Swamp People and like literally the whole show is just them murdering alligators.
Yeah.
Like they'll catch the alligator in the swamp in the bayou and literally just shoot its brains out.
Yeah.
And like unfortunately whenever that show is on, I watch it. But I'm not a good like and then afterwards I'm like this I'm such a horrible person. It doesn't really make me feel good necessarily. When I admit the first time I saw it I was like this is cool, but then like afterwards I was just like not so cool.
Not so cool.
Yeah.
So then I don't know. Did you ever want to like be
want
like
to
oh,
what?
Like be like oh we should get cable here? You're just
not
like
really,
Netflix.
Not really.
Netflix.
But
it's not worth it.
I got into Game of Thrones though, dude.
Now it's on.
That's HBO too.
And, yeah. That's premium channel stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
Just wait for it to come on DVD.
Yeah. Well, or I watched the entire two seasons because it's on like what do you call it in instant watch or whatever on demand, so you can watch it however you want.
Should be called
I like
instant
watch. Yeah.
Whatever it's called, I don't know. But
or insta watch.
It was pretty cool. I got to watch them like watch a couple every day while I was visiting my parents, and my pops got into it. Pretty cool show.
What is that show
about? Because I have heard a lot of people talk about it, and also Dave Navarro talking about it on Twitter and Tumblr.
It's kind of like a medieval kind of fantasy, and this kind of otherworld setting. There's a bunch of like clans, I guess like houses, you know, like royal houses, and there's one throne, and the characters are pretty cool. There's a lot of cool characters, and the story progresses pretty well. I haven't read the books, but the TV series is pretty cool.
It's I've heard good things.
It's medieval done well. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I felt. It's, you know, you get down to that. A lot of times, you know, you get that. There's this fantasy element of what medieval that people do in, you know?
Yeah.
But this one is more... It has that fantasy element, but it's very realistic.
Yeah, it's tastefully done too. It's not constantly in your face, I feel like.
Yeah. It's not like you're watching like Conan or something like that. Even though Conan's not medieval. I don't even know what the...
Well, honestly, let's talk about Conan, the original Conan, the Barbarian movie from... What was it?
Schwarzenegger?
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
But that wasn't medieval though, right?
It's like ancient times, you know, prehistory kind of period.
Prehistory? What? So.
BC.
I like that.
It's like a long ass time ago.
I don't even know, but it feels unique that I don't even know that you didn't have cable. It's sort of like, I don't know, man. Your mind is more cleansed. You can take in the good stuff, basically.
I hate to say it, but like TV is it's a sedative of sorts. I feel like it keeps the masses from really going out there and doing something. You know?
I hear you. I agree.
Anything
with that.
Really, you know, something productive or meaningful or something that.
So many people just like come home from work and just veg, or even worse, don't even work and like just veg and like not even attempt to like live a life, you know. So, get off your butts and do something.
Exactly. And if you are gonna watch stuff, just watch good stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you have to go through a bunch of bad stuff to figure out what it is.
Yeah, I think everybody should at least have like one or two shows though that they watch, just like as a human, just to like. Be entertained though. Sometimes you need to have that break from life just to get into a character or a setting.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that escapism.
Because it's always been a unique experience, I guess, for me is that, like, you know, being like a filmmaker or working in film production, a lot of people just assume that I watch everything. Like, they're like, oh, you didn't watch that? You know, it's always a situation with me where people are like, I thought you were a filmmaker. You're supposed to watch that. It's so rare. I really don't sit on my ass and just like flip through the channels. That's doom right there. That's like the doomsday moment of just like, oh, what's on? Whoop. The last time I actually did that was in college, and I took this as a sign. The next day, we lost our free cable. You know what I mean? Before, I was just cherry picking the show. Like, I'd watch like Raw, then I would watch, I don't even know what was on during that time, but just the good stuff. And then the moment I'm just like, oh, I got 30 or an hour, I'm just gonna flip through and see what's on. And you know, you see all this reality TV, you know, you see all this stuff, and then the next day it was gone. And I was like, shit, so that's the last thing I'm going to see? Damn it. Heartbreaking, man. Heartbreaking. So.
But were you more productive after that?
What, after that?
Yeah, after they took away your free cable?
I mean, I was pretty productive beforehand, but it's just sort of like, it's like you don't test the gods type situation, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like if I were to keep with the good diet of quality shows that I usually watched at that time, you know, I might have still had that free cable. Who knows, man? Who knows what the fates are playing? They always do something. They're always just teasing people. So I'm back on the game of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So yeah, they had that on HBO. I waited for it on Palladia, never showed up. And I like watching the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you guys take that serious as like an entity of like, oh, this is...
I mean, I've heard that it's pretty much hard to get into it. You have to be vetted and voted into it by... Like whoever votes it, I don't know who votes, but...
Isn't it like RC, you have to have been in the game, relevant for like 20 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a who's who of kind of music artists.
Is that something that you followed? Like
Not really. It's cool. It's good to, I say, give props to people who deserve it.
Yeah.
And what they've given to the art form. If I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I heard that like... You gotta buy yourself into it or something?
Maybe that's
the Hollywood Square. I think it's a square.
No, that's the Hollywood
Stars. Yeah, it's the Hollywood Stars.
You definitely have to pay for it.
That's what I got confused with.
As far as the Hall of Fame, I'm pretty sure you don't, but who knows?
I got it mixed up.
I'm serious. That would be total bullshit if you have to do that at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, that's the same as like when you win any award and they make you pay for like the actual award. I was like, what the hell is that?
Didn't the Olympians that won medals, they had to pay tax on it? And it's like some extreme amount of tax. Something like, I'm making this up, but like $8,000 per medal.
Jesus, what?
Yeah, they have to pay tax on $8,000 gold medal. Like,
they're like, no, I only want the bronze.
You know, but Michael Phelps, he like, I heard something that like his silvers, he basically just hides away. He has like two silvers.
Like they're not tax deductible silvers or?
No, those, he probably still had to pay for those, but he like doesn't display them. Like he's
not,
just like,
not good enough. Not
good
enough.
Put this in a closet. Hide yep. it.
But see, like this year, I mean, I was interested in that because Beastie Boys, relevant. Guns N' Roses, relevant. And Chili Peppers are relevant to me. Yeah. I know there are other guys. I feel bad.
Wasn't Run DMC in there this year? Or was that last year?
I don't know. It probably was like maybe 3 years ago or something like that. I always feel bad for the guys that are not like the main event, like Hall of Fame guys.
Like who?
I don't know. There's always, you get like, I don't know, like Jethro Tull. I don't know. Like he's someone, yeah. You know, there's always those guys. Like just like in any Hall of Fame. But like one of the main things that people wanted to see in this one was you have Guns N' Roses. You know, to me, is Guns N' Roses, are you a fan of Guns N' Roses? Or do you acknowledge?
I definitely respect the hell out of Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. And,
yeah.
And you Lose Your Illusion. Use Your Illusion?
Yeah, there's like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Yeah. And then you had Lies and Spaghetti. So we know all the albums. So I think that's it, too. I'm not really sure.
I didn't get the new album that he released.
Chinese Democracy?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
It's not. I got that. You can only buy it at Best Buy. There's like at least, you know, there's at least like four songs or three songs that I would be like, wow, if only they had at least like 12 more of these. Like
that's cool.
This level.
Some good songs though.
But it's it's not the grunginess of, you know, he wanted to make a contemporary sound.
Was Buckethead on guitars for that album?
I believe everyone was on guitar on that. Like when you go to the credits of that. Of Chinese Democracy, you see like everyone from Dave Navarro, Buckethead, or you know what I mean. That's what's so amazing about that project.
We all want to jam on that album. It's the album to be on.
Or it's also like you mean it's going on for like 10 years or so. Yeah. Well, let me just rotate this. Like it's been like over 10 years in the making. But whatever, you know, it finally came out. It's just it's gonna be like how Dr. Dre's Detox is now. It's gonna take forever to come out. But yeah, everyone wanted to know. Because, you know, you're nominated for the Hall of Fame, right? You would show up, right? Like, I don't know. Some people, you'd think they would show up. You have Guns N' Roses who have, for years, have not gotten along together.
Yeah.
And everyone's all like, oh, is Axl going to make it? Oh, Axl's going. No, now Slash is not going. And of course, Axl did not go. And, I don't know, Carol and I were looking at that before, or watching that, and we're like, that's bullshit, dude. Show up to the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that? Should you show up to your Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. It's a tough question. Depends on like what kind of relationship you have with the band members and what kind of whether you think that it's has any meaning to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. I remember back in the day with when Pink Floyd was inducted to the Hall of Fame. I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan, and back then. Roger Waters, I don't know if you know the band members of Pink Floyd, but Roger Waters and David Gilmour had a little tiff going on.
Yeah.
Roger Waters left the band and David Gilmour continued Pink Floyd without him, even though Roger Waters felt like he wrote most of the songs and it's his kind of baby and he shouldn't do it without him. But they had a little personal tiff between him.
Yeah.
And Pink Floyd was inducted and everybody thought Roger Waters was going to come back and do the Hall of Fame induction with him.
Yeah, if there's ever a place, why not have a reunion here, right? Yeah. It seems like a logical.
Yeah, I was betting my money that he was going to do it, and but he didn't do it. Billy Corgan went in there and did a song with David Gilmour. Wish you were
Billy Corgan did.
Yeah, which was cool nonetheless. But on a positive note, Roger Waters and David Gilmour put their personal differences aside and got together for a Live 8, like that big benefit concert.
Yeah, live. I remember Live 8.
Yeah.
Wait, was it Live 8? No, there's something. Yeah, they named it something else afterwards, didn't they?
Live 8, I think, is what it is. I think there's Live Aid, which is that big concert.
Oh, Live 8. All right.
Yeah, that was
go.
The big 80s one.
Yeah, yeah.
But Live 8 was like the more recent
I remember
one.
That.
Or Spinal Tap. Do you see when Spinal Tap played? Yeah. There's like a billion guys on bass playing Big
dude,
Bottom.
Even Foo Fighters played on Live 8, dude. Everyone played. Green Day played Live 8. But, yeah, I always think that that's a situation where like a band would come together. Because even like with Metallica, what's his name? Their second bassist, the Jason Newsted, even he was there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's sort of like, but also when you saw when what's it not Deborah Harry? What's her group called?
Blondie.
When Blondie came up, they like almost pretty much had the original band. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that one.
From what I saw, Blondie had like Deborah Harry had her band, and then there's the original band, you know. But
yeah.
they didn't they let the original, she didn't let the original band play. Like, when you know how they're supposed to play after the induction, I was like, wow, that's weird. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the same situation. So then I bring us back now to like the Chili Peppers, and I'm like we're all massive fans of John Frusciante.
Yeah.
And there's several omissions in this. Even though I love the fact they're a new lineup, I still love the new lineup. You know, I feel like that can go in a new dimension. But it's like when you're watching like the video promos. Did you watch the video promos, Carolyn?
Some of it.
It's like that's why I say you brought the fact that you love the One Hot Minute era or the One Hot Minute album.
Underrated album.
They didn't even like acknowledge it.
Yeah.
They didn't acknowledge it through the times. It's like
no reference pictures of Dave Navarro in the background.
Yeah, it goes literally from like Uplift to, you know, Mother's Milk to Blood Sugar Sex Magik, Californication, and then it's like, wait a minute, they didn't even like have pictures.
That's a good album, man. I don't know why they would overlook that album. I love that album. I think
there must be some type of beef, though.
Now, Carolyn, you're bringing that possible beef up, or hints of beef between Dave Navarro and...
Well, I don't know what it is. Obviously, I'm not like privy to all this information, but just on facts that I know, I remember like watching, like my only favorite reality TV show was Till Death Do Us Part, Carmen and Dave. And it was on MTV, and it was Carmen Electra and Dave Navarro going planning their wedding. And I remember there was a scene where like they were writing out like invitations and where people were gonna sit, and like if they heard back from people and stuff. And Carmen was, I think from what my memory serves, Carmen was like, "Hey, here's Anthony Kiedis. Did you hear back from like Chili Peppers?" And then he like didn't hear back from any of them. Like no, not even a reply of no, which I think is kind of insulting. That's fine if you can't make it. Who knows? Maybe they're on tour. Maybe they have other things going on. They're busy people. But at least, like, you know, it would be nice to get a reply card back that says, "Sorry, we can't make it." Just say no.
Didn't Dave even like recite it like on the show? He's like, "No reply from Anthony."
Yeah, he was like he kind of sounded like sad about it. He was just like, "Yeah, no reply from any of the Chili Peppers." It's just like, I don't know. Like, I kind of felt like even at that moment, that was probably like 2002 or 2003 or something. Like, even at that moment, I was just like, man, that relationship must not be good at all if you don't hear back, you know? So I don't know. I just thought that. And then just for like now, recently watching the Chili Peppers be inducted to the Hall of Fame and having like no mention of Dave Navarro and none of his pictures in the background or anywhere.
No pictures like, at all.
It just really makes me feel like they're just basically like, yeah, he's not in the band.
You're like, that doesn't count.
At any point. Like, it's kind of like when the WWE just, like, erased Chris Benoit. You know, like, it's just like, it's like they don't even mention it. Like, they'll take him completely off the website, and he's on no more further DVD releases, and, like, he's never mentioned ever again. So, like, I mean, that's how I feel, like, about the Dave Navarro thing. And obviously, I don't know what went down. Like, do you know anything of what went down? Because I haven't researched it.
I know is that when we're watching, like, the A&E, not A&E, what is it?
Behind the Music.
Behind the Music.
I remember that.
What happened?
Flea was like, he's like, I might not be quoting him perfectly on this, but he's like, yeah, Dave is a good rock and roll musician, rock and roll guitar player, but I don't know if he gelled with the band. I was like, what does that mean? So he just, it's like, What I took from what Flea said was basically Dave Navarro is not musically as superior.
Visually he's like ultimately like the rock star look, you know, persona and stuff like that. But I feel like they do respect him as a musician, but they just don't think that he's a right match for the Chili Peppers. Like, he's good in Jane's Addiction, but maybe he's not as, you know, he doesn't gel with Anthony and all of their, and Flea and all of their, like, persona as well.
What do you think, RC?
Well, interesting with that VH1 special, when they were talking about how he wasn't gelling with the band, they juxtaposed it with him walking up to a limo. And like he was waiting for a guy to open the door for him. He's like, you know, kind of painted him kind of like in a negative light in a way, like he's kind of like a...
He's like, I know I'm new to the band, but come on.
Exactly.
Can you imagine even in that situation? Because even back then, Dave Navarro was still pretty...
Yeah.
People knew who he was.
Exactly.
But for that situation, for like the limo driver to not have that door open for him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but that's, it kind of reminds me, and that might be skewed, like, edited that way, too, because it reminds me of, like, you know when you look at Us Magazine and all that, or People Magazine, they always show, like, the worst pictures of those people, you know, to be like, I don't know, I'm making this up, like, Julia Roberts gained 20 pounds, and then they show her, like, with a fat face. Yeah, when, obviously she's, you know, not ugly looking, but they show, like, the worst picture of her.
It's supposed to be used to reflect the intention of the what's being said or the article at the time. Yeah.
I thought it was amazing, even in that A&E bio, not A&E, God, for the behind the music, they, while they're talking about tensions or while they're talking about, like, their relationship with Dave Navarro, there's just one scene where, or one shot that has Flea, basically he's playing and then he just walks up and whispers something in Dave Navarro's ear. And then just for him saying like, yeah, we didn't really click that well. It's like that scene could have been taken from anything. He just walked up and could have said anything to him.
Exactly.
But it made it look like, oh, he's going to give him bad news. Like,
turn your guitar up. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
You
like know? Stuff like that. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with any of it. But like the other thing that I think is interesting is, looking at their other guitar players, like John Frusciante. From what I know of John Frusciante, he doesn't drive a car. He, like, lives on very minimal money, even though he has a lot of money, probably. He
has a good amount of money.
I'm sure he's a millionaire. He's probably a multimillionaire, but he just doesn't have any, like...
need for it.
Value for it, though. But he, like, doesn't care about, like, oh, give me money. Like, he's not like Uncle Scrooge, like, bathing in money about it. He handles his money, like, responsibly, I hope. But, like, at the same time...
What else do you think John Frusciante would buy?
Guitar? I don't know. Guitar? Equipment?
That's it. But if that's all your expenditures, it's not like he's going out and buying cars.
I mean, he probably has, like, a nice house in, like, Venice Beach, in Venice,
doesn't he?
He probably has, like, a nice house, you know, like, he deserves a nice house. And he probably has, like, a recording studio and a really nice guitars, and that's it. Because that's all he cares about.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no need for him to go overboard and splurge. I mean, he splurges on probably the things that he likes, but he doesn't go nuts and, like, buys, like, a diamond-encrusted pool or something. You know, he probably doesn't...
diamond-encrusted pool.
What I'm saying as far as, like... And I don't think Dave necessarily would buy a diamond-encrusted pool, but what I'm saying is that look at the persona of Dave Navarro versus the persona of John Frusciante, and they couldn't be any more different, really.
Yeah. Now, RC, when you saw that, when they went from Blood Sugar to One Hot Minute, like, when did you get into the Chili Peppers? Like,
I got into the Chili Peppers. Actually, I didn't like them for a while, I'll be honest. Back in high school... Anthony Kiedis, quite honestly, that I couldn't get into his vocals.
I think that might be a lot.
I liked it, but then at some point during Give It Away, when that album came, but what's like Sugar Magic came out, that's the album that kind of clicked for me.
Yeah.
And I really got into it.
That was their breakout.
And then when Soul to Squeeze came out, that kind of sealed it. I was like, wow, this song is amazing.
It is amazing.
I think it's on the Conehead soundtrack.
It is on the Conehead soundtrack, recorded during the Blood Sugar
era. And that was Frusciante's last song with him at the time, I think, right?
Well, I mean, it was... they recorded all of that stuff in the same place.
It was the same session?
But it came out after he was gone.
Yeah.
Which was so sad when you see the music video. Yeah. And he's not there.
Totally.
They're just like, I guess we just gotta do it without him.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But I thought they killed it for the Woodstock 94 show when they came out with the light bulbs in the head.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
And I thought Navarro killed it. And honestly, I love One Hot Minute. It's a totally underrated album. My Friends is an amazing song. And like speaking about like underappreciated album, I think with their Best Of album, they didn't put the first single off that album.
Wait, I
forget the name of the song.
Which Best Of? The recent one?
The recent one, like the two disc set?
Because they have like three Best Of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, they have so many good songs. It's understandable.
They did. Or are you talking about like the newest one, the one with the cover that has like the lips on it?
Yeah.
Wait, they didn't include Warped, or they didn't include...
I didn't think it had Warped, I think is what it was. See, or maybe, I forget what it didn't have, but it was a very, like, it was the first single off that album, I think they didn't have on there.
Here's the thing, like I have like, with One Hot Minute, I don't have anything against I enjoy it. You know, I've listened to it. I mean, there is a certain point, I think, rhythmically that, like, just like any other album, when you're looking at the album as a whole, you want to perceive it as one giant piece. And I think, like, after, I forget what it is, like, One Big Mob during that time, once it gets to One Big Mob, I feel like it shifts, and then it comes back up during Tearjerker.
Yeah, Tearjerker is such a good song.
Oh, yeah,
oh my
that's
gosh,
a good song.
So that's a really good song.
Yeah, so like that's all I can have. Like you want to look at it as one big piece. Like when I looked at what's it called? Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Like there's no rhythm break. Like everything is just perfectly placed. That's the one thing I have against One Hot Minute, is that there's that one drop and then it comes back up. So it's like I can't listen to it all the way through because it will hit that song and I'm like, oh, the you know something. You know, you can tell.
You kind of lose your momentum for the album.
Yeah, you lose your momentum there. Mm. Not saying that those songs that that are in that. It's just sort of like, maybe if you moved it here, I don't know. This is
so the track placement is not quite fluid.
Which in today's day and age doesn't mean a damn.
Yeah, you just kind of going away. It's going back to the old school single approach of putting music out there.
People are just like, just go to anything. I just like putting it at the top, listening all the way through.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you put the needle at the beginning of the album type deal and let it play. But like when I listen to One Hot Minute, you compare that. Very even marketing, very two different acts. Like that was one thing. Like after the Jane's Addiction concert, and I'm watching that, and I'm listening to Jane's Addiction. And I've listened to Jane's Addiction a lot, but when you listen to One Hot Minute, that's a lot of Dave Navarro influence in there. That's a lot.
He's the guitarist.
But not only that, but it's almost like since he plays a certain style, it's like Anthony Kiedis had to do his vocals different. You know, now you add that Jane's Addiction like reverb, now flow, just like with Warped. Well, if you think about Warped, that's pretty close to a Jane's Addiction song.
I never thought of it that way.
You know what I mean?
I never really got into Jane's Addiction too much. I like their music, but I don't have any of their albums, and I appreciate them as artists.
But think of the structure. Like, Carolyn, what's usually the structure of the key Jane's Addiction songs? Like Oceanside, it will start with that like, do-do-do-do-do-do, break. You know, then it gets heavy.
Yeah.
You have those same breaks in One Hot Minute.
Huh.
So it's sort of like, even with the coffee shop at the beginning, at the first song we played today, it's like, starts with that, then you go, like, that's a Jane's Addiction thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chili Peppers don't, like, the original Chili Peppers just don't do that. Chili Peppers come in, and they're just like, so there's, I feel like maybe that's what happens. Maybe Chili Peppers or Flea were just like, maybe Dave is doing too much of his, you know, too much of Dave. I don't know what
I wasn't obviously there, but even like personalities might overshadow, you know, like everybody has to play their part type thing.
Yeah.
And maybe they, I don't know, maybe something happened where like they felt like their parts were being overshadowed or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say. I'm not a part of the band.
Which is also, again, like when John Frusciante came back after that.
I was at his first show at RFK. Yeah.
Really?
Free Tibet show.
Man.
Oh,
everybody was leaving the stadium because they thought the concert was over and the Chili Peppers came on.
What?
With Frusciante,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wait. So the Free Tibet show, who was supposed to headline that?
Well, what happened? The day before, it was a two-day festival, and the day before during the Herbie Hancock set, some chick got struck by lightning.
Oh,
like a big storm came and some chick got struck by lightning. It's always, and so the Radiohead show, all the rest of the acts were canceled, including the Radiohead show. Radiohead was supposed to headline the first day, Saturday, and actually also think Chili Peppers were supposed to headline Saturday also.
Yeah.
And then the second day, which had like R.E.M., Beastie Boys, Pearl Jam.
Dang, look at that lineup!
It was a crazy lineup. But they all Pearl Jam like shortened their set. Everybody shortened their set, so Radiohead and people thought Chili Peppers were going to play, but then Pearl Jam cut out early so Chili Peppers could come on and close the show out. It was a crazy concert. I will say I've been to a lot of shows. I've never seen an arena or stadium go as crazy. I've been to a lot of shows. I've never seen the place go as insane as when Beastie Boys was playing Sabotage.
Dude,
the place went freaking crazy.
That's a heavy ass song, man.
I've been to literally hundreds of shows. I've never seen any kind of environment like that was. It was pretty awesome.
That's what even sucks. You talk about the Beastie Boys at this point, and like me in my head, I'm just like, man, that's not gonna happen ever again.
Yeah.
That's such a sad.
It is sad.
It is sad. And also because he started he started Tibet. He started the Free Tibet concert. Yeah. He's the one who put that together.
Yeah, it's sad that the people who are really good intention and shine bright like that have to pass early for some reason, man. I don't know what that kind of pattern is.
But you saw the Chili Peppers there?
Yeah, I saw the Chili Peppers. That was with Frusciante, his first show. It's pretty cool, man.
That must have been pretty. That's historic. Then
yeah,
you
it
saw
is.
That
I'm kind of proud of that. My ego kind of flares there a little bit.
Like I was there.
But did people like run back?
Oh yeah, everybody started rushing back to the stage.
Do you remember the concert? Like, what did they start with?
Honestly, I don't. I think it was a hit.
It had to be.
It was a hit.
They're all
the play the hits.
It was a long time ago.
It's a stadium show. You play the hits at a stadium show. You know what I mean?
I wonder if it's on YouTube. I hope it is.
Probably.
That'd be cool if it is.
What was that? Was that 99?
It was like 98, I think.
98? So this was even before Californication came out.
Yeah, it was before Californication.
All right, so they had to play the hits. They're not going to start with All Around the World.
Yeah.
No one's going to know what the hell that is.
Yeah.
So it was probably just like, then all of a sudden, like, you know, Give It Away starts up.
Yeah, it was like a guitar riff and just everybody turn around and rush the stage. It was pretty cool.
Nice. I doubt that he played any One Hot Minute stuff. Or did they play one? I've never seen John Shante play any One Hot Minute stuff at all.
What do you call it? Flea played P, though.
Well, that's a solo song.
At one of the shows I've been to, so.
At the Chili Peppers show that we went to this summer, did they play any One Hot Minute?
No.
They basically Chris Benoit.
Yeah, yeah. like Benoit the hell out of that. Literally.
That's like what we're going to call, like, just erasing something from the earth.
Benoit.
Like, Benoit.
They got Benoit. Yeah, like, literally, we've seen the Chili Peppers.
The Carolyn and Joe Show dictionary.
We've seen them three times. Each one had John Frusciante there. Frusciante with a mohawk. We saw Josh, the newest one. But yeah, they never touched One Hot Minute material at all.
Ever.
At all. They couldn't even break into Warped, or they couldn't break into Tearjerker. Or
no, what about Airplane?
They didn't even play any Airplane at all.
Okay.
None at all. I think also what I heard from that, from the One Hot Minute session, is that like the communication wasn't so good with Dave or the creativeness or the whatever the chemistry that Flea basically wrote majority of the songs. Like he had to like
interesting
play guitar, and then I don't know, maybe Dave's just hard to work with. I'm not sure at all. But so yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Chili Peppers,
with his personality, like and also from listening to his radio show Dark Matter, like I think that he has a good personality, but you have to like gel in his circle properly.
Yeah,
like, but I think he's like, I don't know. He has some like good things to offer, but he's not just going to be like friendly with everybody to be like, "Hey everybody, I'm like the friendliest guy in the world."
It's like, "Oh, what do you want to play?" Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I don't know. You have to like jive with him properly. So, maybe he gets along with like, but even like there's been riffs with Jane's Addiction in general.
Yeah.
Back and forth, but like now they seem in a healthy place.
I feel it's interesting because I feel that John Frusciante is crucial.
This song right here is so sick.
It's
here,
so sick.
Sorry to interrupt.
Freaking
it's so sick that other band
Crazy Town.
The Crazy Town.
I don't even think of them.
That Butterfly song. And that whole reason why that Butterfly song was popular for that summer or whenever it was released.
Which is the hot chick in that song, that video.
I don't know about the hot chick.
Wee, I still have dreams about her.
I can tell you though, it's because of that solo. Seriously.
Yeah, true. That is the song. That's the whole thing, Live is the song. Yeah.
That's the whole thing because the rest of their songs suck. I don't know if they suck or not, but it's not when you send out a single, and then you know it's just like the Sugar Ray effect. It's like
Sugar Ray.
You know what I'm talking about? Sugar Ray on their first album had that, I forget what it was, Learn to Fly or whatever. But then the whole album is like metal stuff.
And like, I remember watching him live. I was like, whoa, this is not what I expected from that single that I heard on the radio.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Now I completely forgot because I'm talking about Sugar Ray.
Sorry, I interrupted.
You were talking about Crazy Town.
But Frusciante to me is such a crucial element of the band.
Yeah.
Like extreme crucial element of the band. Like for pretty much 20 years now, dude. Yeah. And he was what was missing out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, out of the Chili Pepper group.
I just can't believe he didn't show up. It's basically like, I know he's like a different type of
person. A different human being altogether.
He's a different human being altogether. He's one of his own. I mean, not many people have his personality and his view on life. But at the same time, it's like, you think that you would be at like the high pinnacle of your life and your career, but he just like totally no-showed, and to me that like basically just meant like he honestly just doesn't care about awards, and
because
he must seriously really not care about any of that stuff.
Because if you think about now, the whole outline of this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had the potential to be fucking amazing. Beasties, you know, Guns N' Roses and Chili Peppers, and it's like, well, one of the Beasties died, so he couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Then no Axl Rose, and then for me no Frusciante. Yeah. So I'm like, damn, this thing's handicapped.
Kind of has like a bitter kind of taste to it.
Yeah,
huh?
It's sort of like what's going on, man. They all talked about how important John Frusciante was, but in your head, RC, why do you think why was he not there?
I think it has a lot to do with what Carolyn was saying. I think just like in his perspective of life, these accolades and awards don't have value. It probably doesn't mean anything to him. Maybe he has a rift with the band now. I don't know.
Well, I've always heard that he sort of has an iffy relationship with with Anthony. Anthony. I feel like everyone always has an iffy relationship with Anthony. If I'm reading Scar Tissue, have you read that book?
I have not.
Ooh, yeah, check it out. I'll let you borrow it. But yeah, reading that, I think it's very understandable why he would be hard to get along with too.
Those are like the three books that I don't know when I'm ever going to have time to read, but I do want to read Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis, Don't Try This at Home by Dave Navarro, and Tommy Land by Tommy Lee. Huh. Like, I just want to read them
the
all
rock
in a
star,
row.
Yeah, like memoirs.
Exactly.
Huh? I don't know when. Some pretty interesting lives, man. Some interesting lives.
I don't know
sure.
when I'm ever going to have time for all that, but I do want to read all that. But you said the Anthony Kiedis book is, like, awesome.
It is pretty awesome. Like, I really want to just keep reading, but I had to go to sleep certain times of day. He has good stories, but he also has a lot of stories where it's entertaining to read it, but I bet if you were living it and you were his friend, you'd be like, man, fuck, stop. That's going to fuck up your life. And he probably did fuck up his life, you know?
I mean, they've been through a lot. And even when Chris Rock introduced them, it was pretty amazing how he said basically, like, their songs are so happy. The Red Hot Chili Peppers songs are so happy. But you know that there's, like, a darkness to them, that you know that in the past they've lived, like, troubled lives, you know? So, but then, like, they can come back and be, like, really fun about it. Which I think is pretty a good way to describe the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Because, like, really, this sounds so fun. Listen to this. Sounds fun, yeah. You know. So, but then like,
good time.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. But then, like, knowing about, like, if you actually listen to the lyrics and, like, the pain behind the band, it's, like, pretty freaking painful.
Under the Bridge, yeah. There's a lot of sadness in that song.
But I think that maybe that's why a lot of people can even relate to them as a band in general, just because, like, you know, they spotlight the down part of life, but then their songs are really all about living life, so they can flip it around like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons. I don't know. It's sort of what was it? The early 90s. I guess maybe that was like when, even like when Dave Navarro, there was just a time where everyone was depressed. I don't know what it was. It was
the
like
90s kind of grunge period.
Yeah, but not, yeah. Like, I felt
the Kurt Cobain kind of.
Yeah, the Kurt Cobain
era. It took away the Hesh hair metal happiness of the 80s
yeah,
and just made,
like,
things a bit more serious.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Just cut it down, and it's like, oh, suicide is the answer. You know, it's like always that, and people are overdosing and drugs, and even River Phoenix died, and all this stuff. You know, early 90 to 94 or something like that, and then Hootie and the Blowfish came in.
Like that. Yeah, Hootie's
and
like,
music
everybody
sucked
had.
Again.
But, like, you know, that's
we got
how
Limp Bizkit now.
Dude, Limp Bizkit was so big in the day.
They were huge. I thought I was in La La Land. Oh, I shouldn't be talking smack.
Why not?
Because I made a rule for myself. I shouldn't talk smack about anything.
But you can look at it mathematically, though. You don't have to say it sucks.
Yeah, we're not trying to, like, diss on anybody. We're just saying the facts. Sometimes, well, I mean,
here's a
like,
fact. Limp Bizkit sucks. I have it in paper right here. Well, all the formulas are written out.
If there was, yeah, I mean, no. See, I tried to do that for real. I was like, well, what would be the reason for me not to like Limp Bizkit? Because, you know, Wes Borland, the guitarist of Limp Bizkit, is from Richmond. And I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense, because look at the sound he is. And
you,
he's, look how
know,
artistic he is.
I remember damn well having everybody put down their windows at summer during summertime, and you could hear a Limp Bizkit song for like at least 5 years constantly.
I came into this world as like everyone was playing that song.
Everybody,
but also it was a perfect time because you had was this 99 summer 99. Of 99 summer of 99 dude.
It was like NSYNC. It was like all this crazy TRL insanity.
Hostile music situation.
I think
man.
There were only like two good bands. It was like. The Peppers with Californication and Rage Against the Machine with Battle Sand.
And
like
that was my,
only two albums that were like worth a damn in
that
whole period. That
was
period.
The shit. those two became my acts at the same time, dude. And it was because of Woodstock 99 that I got into the Chili Peppers. And you know why? And I'm going to thank Limp Bizkit for that. It's because I recorded Limp Bizkit on my cassette tape at the HF Festival, right? No, at Woodstock, right? I just pressed record and I went to bed. And then I woke up and I listened to it. I was like, okay, cool, the Limp Bizkit played. You know, everyone listened to Limp Bizkit. And then after that, I was like, okay, Rage Against the Machine. I'll listen right into Rage Against the Machine. And when they fucking went into No Shelter, I was like, this fucking band is great, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, that changed my fucking life. So it's like, if it wasn't Limp Bizkit, I would have never appreciated and got into Rage. One had to plow away before
That's
I
good.
Get to one.
You know what? You know what other band that everyone was always into around that time period?
Sugar
Creed.
Sugar Ray.
Oh, Creed. Yeah. Creed. Yeah.
I don't understand. Like,
arms wide open.
Like, was that 99 too?
It was that era. Yeah.
Like, I just remember everybody like being all about Creed. Even people that I thought would not be into Creed. Like, I remember one of my best friends bought the Creed album, and I was just like, really? Like, I would have not ever pegged her for being a Creed fan.
What hits did Creed have?
With the arms wide open.
Is that the only one?
There's like a, there's a couple others.
Do they have like a hero one too? Or
I
like...
think so. Yeah. But there was like...
Have you seen Creed Shreds?
No. What is that?
Oh, dude. You got to go on YouTube and watch Creed Shreds.
What is that?
It's... Man, I don't want to describe it. You just got to watch it.
You gotta but those,
I can't describe it because it'll ruin...
Those are basically like the bands of early of this century.
But check out Creed Shred. I think my favorite is Creed Shreds 3.
Well, I mean, what genre? What's going to happen? Don't tell us exactly what
just
happens.
Just watch it. All right. I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
Is it we'll positive? Have to watch
just
it.
Just YouTube it. Yeah, I promise we'll you, you'll later. Be impressed. I promise you'll be impressed.
It's funny because Creed, the band, turned into, I forget what it was. It wasn't Alter Bridge. That's a video game.
Alter Bridge is the one that does Edge's theme song.
Yeah, that's Creed without the lead singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then they did Edge's music.
On this day,
yeah.
They became
relevant after that, man. They had to get rid of.
I like that Rob Zombie song he had was sick, dude.
The Never Gonna Stop.
Never Gonna Stop. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Back in the day, I think Taker had the Limp Bizkit song going back to...
That was freaking SmackDown 2002, man. Come on. Paul Heyman written SmackDown stuff.
I do. It is kind of amazing, though, how I remember a lot of music from that time period. But I don't know what's going on like now, for example. Like, what's the hotness going on right now? I don't know. Katy Perry?
Well, Katy Perry is very prominent. Yeah.
She's prominent. Like,
Nicki Minaj.
But yeah. I don't know any of her songs. Like, I can't even name you a title and
you
or sing
stupid
it.
You were stupid, ho.
I don't. I just know she's like.
Is that one of the songs? I swear to you, the only Nicki Minaj I've ever heard has been probably like on a Kanye album.
Yeah,
that's it, or Jay-Z album, and I didn't know it was her. You know.
I still don't feel like she's up to that level though to like document like the past. Let's just say the past 5 years. What's been prominent in music? I don't know. Besides like Katy Perry and who else? Like who else has been like super prominent mainstream?
Oh, mainstream today?
Yeah. Coldplay, I guess.
Coldplay breaking through. I remember when Coldplay came out. They had that song
that
Trouble.
Yellow.
Yeah.
That came out. Yeah. Like that 2004.
That was around when music started to get better, I feel like.
That was like in the aftermath of also like, yeah, the Strokes that are coming up too with
music,
the Hives.
Yeah, music started to get better after a while. Well, I hate to say the band started to become the bands. Most of those the bands were pretty decent. There was a lot of good decent bands.
Yeah, a lot of them just exploded from the inside.
Yeah.
Like the Vines. Have you ever remember the Vines?
I had that album, but I forget. I know they're like exploding with getting struck by lightning in the
Yeah, yeah, that
something.
Guy's like, I'm gonna get free. Yeah, I'm gonna like and it's just the da 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 that's like the whole song.
Pretty dope song.
Yeah, but like basically like I was like he also did like a cover of like Miss Jackson by Outkast.
I've never heard that one.
It's like the Sorry, Miss Jackson. Yeah. They actually did like their version of it.
Yeah, I'm actually not a big fan of that song.
Well, either way, they did that song. But that the lead singer was just so out of control that like he would just ruin the shows. Like that's how they exploded from the inside. Like and then he's like, the rest of the band is sort of just like, look up their performance. We'll probably watch it after the show. Maybe in 5 minutes or something. watch the Vines on what's it called? David Letterman.
Okay.
Watch it together.
All right.
And you tell me how much more longer can this guy exist in this band by acting like this?
Whatever happened to him? I never really heard of him after that album. That was it. He just kind of faded into obscurity, huh?
I mean, I don't know how much more further you can take that sound.
Yeah. I wonder like, what people like that are doing now. Like, who? I'm making this up. I don't even know who this guy is, but what if he's just like, delivering pizza or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what do they end up doing?
I mean, this is
like,
one...
Do you see what I'm getting at? It's like, they're members of a rock band. Or even like, oh God, why is my brain going damaged? Oh, like the Panic Channel. Okay, that's basically like Jane's Addiction, but without Perry Farrell. And they had Steve Isaac singing.
Dave Navarro's in there too?
Yeah. And like, it's funny because I actually like bought the album like probably 5 years after they already dissolved. They only had one album. But, like, Steve Isaacs now is basically, like, a creative director at an ad agency in L.A. area. So I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, so, like, what do people do when they end up, like, not being rock stars anymore? It's just, I don't know. I find, like, the rock star life very interesting.
Well, at the end of the day, also, too, I feel like with certain bands, they don't make as much money as you think they do at the same time. It's like, how much money can you really make? I don't know. You can make millions. I believe there's probably just a big jump off period. Yeah. It's just like you're either making millions or you're just making like standard.
Well, the music industry has changed now too.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of game now.
Or even like, I know we've been talking about it a lot, but like Dave Navarro, I don't know how much money he actually makes from like album sales, but he probably makes a lot of money from like hosting all those shows, like the Tattoo Show, Ink Master. Like he hosts like I think it's on Spike, like some type of reality TV show about,
yeah, I've heard of that. It's like
about tattoos, but it's like, I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably makes more or the equivalent of money that he'd be making from album sales by doing that and doing like TV appearances and stuff like that. So I feel like now it's like you have to be a brand of your name in music or any type of arts. Actually, I think that that's the way it's headed.
Well, that's sort of tough if you're up and coming too.
Exactly.
Because you got to be established to get a brand of your name.
Or you have to like be like crazy or something and like drink blood or I don't know. But people have already done that.
Yeah, you need that. You need to be like, you have to be a Nicki Minaj or a what's her face, Lady Gaga. Be like, oh, that's the weird chick. Oh, that's the black weird chick. You know, you gotta be, you know, you have to have
she
that
has
moment.
The pink hair.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, we're living in gimmick times. Yeah.
Definitely.
Almost.
For sure.
But that's, I don't know. I believe there was probably gimmick times all over.
Yeah.
Because I remember everyone has to have that moment.
Yeah. The 80s were a bit gimmicky too, wasn't it? Like, you know, Boy George and Culture Club. And
oh, yeah. That's right.
Even like Michael Jackson, you know, he's
what was
he's
Michael
amazing,
Jackson's
awesome.
Gimmick?
He always had like, you know, like that.
His glove.
Yeah, the glove.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and that,
yeah.
The Thriller jacket, you know, and like.
His dance moves.
Those are good times then, man.
Grabbing his crotch.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing wrong with a gimmick. I guess, you know, it's the visual
or
presence.
Even
of,
Madonna.
Yeah.
The cone boobs.
I guess during the grunge area, just grunge is a gimmick, you know, and there's, I'm
for
depressed.
Sure.
And I love the crow and
out
stuff
and
like
wearing
that. Wearing a flannel and shit
flannel.
Like that. And
yeah.
But girls still wore belly shirts at that time. It was very intriguing. Remember that?
What's a belly shirt?
It's like the shirt that's just the
shows
belly part cut out. You know, it's like a hat, basically like a crop top
Stevie
shirt.
Stevie Richards kind of.
Yeah, Stevie Richards, exactly what we're going to say. I hope everyone at home gets that reference.
We have so many wrestling references.
Like, what? And we mean Michael Mann. Michael Manna is what it is. This is the best ref. I love how we can shoot these wrestling references with you.
My favorite one is getting Benoit.
Get Benoit.
Like,
we'll use
like
that from
erased from Earth.
Yeah. So in this last 30 seconds, what do you think about CM Punk's heel turn?
Oh, it's cool, man. I'm scared that he's going to lose the belt to Cena.
Oh, I'm so scared of that.
I don't want it to happen, man. I really don't. But
I don't think he is, because he's been revealing that there's going to be a new belt coming out soon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he's not going to reveal it unless he's going to be the one that gets it.
I hope so.
So it's almost
he's
like
an awesome chance. He's the best in the world.
He's the best in the world. Well, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me.
Had an awesome time. Everyone at home, go check out curls-studio.com. Check out Carolyn Bolesky's webcomic Curls at curls-studio.com/curls. Check out my website at strayproductions.com or go to my Tumblr, gostray.tumblr.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
See you later, Carolyn.
Adios.